WUKY presents health news you can use. It's Dr. Greg Davis on medicine.
During this pandemic age, we're using every means at our disposal to understand the incidence and prevalence of the novel coronavirus. I recently spoke with Dr. James Keck, Assistant Professor of Family and Community Medicine, about a unique collaboration between him and colleagues in the College of Engineering to determine new technologies in evaluating wastewater to track community presence of COVID-19. Well, James, thank you very much for talking with me today. I read in UK Now about a unique collaboration between you and the College of Medicine and some colleagues in the College of Engineering about monitoring wastewater in this pandemic age. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. So I guess importantly, this pandemic, this virus, people who get it will shed it in their bowel movements so we can detect it in wastewater. And it's a unique way to do surveillance for this disease that gets around some of the challenges of clinical testing, like access to tests and getting a lot of people tested. So you can use the wastewater testing to look at a larger population, like a neighborhood or a city or a dormitory, and understand whether there are people living in that population that might be infected and shedding the virus.
So we're not talking about granular issues of nailing this down to one particular individual. In this context, we'd be looking at a subset, say, of Lexington or some other city's population?
Yeah. So there's a couple of different uses for it. Some cities are using it to get some ideas of trends over time and particular neighborhoods that might be hot spots. And they could use targeted resources maybe to increase testing access in those neighborhoods. At the University of Kentucky, we're using it in our dormitories to identify sources of infection, which could trigger testing of the students living in those dormitories. And then I'm particularly interested in using it in vulnerable populations in congregate living facilities like nursing homes, so that we could identify infection maybe earlier than through routine symptom screening and get people tested and limit the spread of infection.
And I guess over time, this could also assist us in learning about facts like you can be asymptomatic and still shedding the virus, that sort of thing.
Correct. So, you know, many employers and facilities are asking their staff and residents to do these symptom screens daily where they report, you know, new cough or fever, and they might even take someone's temperature. But as we learn more and more, we realize that, you know, upwards of half of the folks who have this illness don't really have any symptoms. So that's probably not a very effective way to identify infections within your living facility or your place of employment. And this might be an alternative way to identify an infection earlier, before many people get ill, and then you could instigate some form of clinical testing to figure out who the person or people are that are actually excreting the virus.
And James, I know you've worked overseas fairly extensively. Are these techniques that you or colleagues have used overseas as well as domestically?
This idea of wastewater surveillance or wastewater-based epidemiology has been around for a few decades and has been used to track polio, which is also a virus that is excreted in the feces, and identify polio outbreaks, because only one in a couple of hundred people who get polio actually have symptoms. So it has been used effectively to identify a polio outbreak before there were six kids and then increase vaccination in that community. But on a related note, I sort of got the inspiration for this work while sitting in rural Madagascar early on in the pandemic. At that time, it was just an epidemic in China. And I found myself wondering how in the heck would these rural remote communities in parts of the world with pretty limited healthcare and technology infrastructure know when the pandemic reached their population, because really there was no access to clinical testing. And wastewater is different in many parts of the world. There aren't often these centralized sewer systems. A lot of people use latrines. And unfortunately, there's been a lot of contamination of the environment. So I had myself wondering, could we use this wastewater testing on environmental water like streams or rice paddies as a way to potentially identify the virus? So I don't know that there's a lot of that happening. I was just connected with a group in Bangladesh at a diarrheal diseases research institute that is planning to do some testing in Bangladesh of standing water around cities. I don't know how far along they are in that approach, but I would like to build this approach as a potential way to do surveillance in other parts of the world.
One of the things that really caught my eye and interested me in the article about your work is that you're collaborating with colleagues in a completely different college, in the UK College of Engineering. How did you all come to figure out that you had this common interest?
Yeah, it's been really fun to work with people across campus, and I really appreciate and enjoy their different perspectives on solving some shared problems. So the way I got connected with the two different engineers, Dr. Scott Berry and Dr. Shakira Hobbs, one was through the same UK Now newsletter that you read. I read about Shakira's work a year ago or so doing wastewater treatment in Belize, and because I have an interest in global health, whenever I read about another faculty member doing something global health related, I tend to reach out and chat with them and see if they might be willing to talk to students in one of my classes, which is what I did with her. And then I got connected to Scott through a mutual acquaintance also because of his global health work doing designing new tests for HIV in Uganda. So when this pandemic hit and I read about wastewater, I thought of my colleagues, one who's a civil engineer with background in wastewater treatment systems, and the other who's a mechanical engineer with a background in designing new tests, particularly focused on RNA extraction, and that's the part of the virus that we're trying to pull out of the wastewater. So I reached out to both of them, and they were interested in collaborating, and it's been very fruitful.
Well, James, is there anything we haven't touched upon that you would want our listeners to know about before we close?
Well, the one message I feel obligated as a public health physician to share is that while we're looking for the virus in the wastewater, we aren't actually concerned about people getting infected from the wastewater. Of course, we take standard precautions when we're getting our samples, but there's not much evidence that it's transmitted through wastewater. There's just fragments of the virus that we're able to detect so that we know that people who've been contributing to the wastewater are infected. So people don't have to be, you know, particularly worried that this is something that they're going to get somehow through wastewater.
My thanks today to Dr. James Keck, Assistant Professor of Family and Community Medicine at the University of Kentucky, for talking with us about new techniques in determining the incidence and prevalence of COVID-19 by researching wastewater. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky who volunteers his time to cover important medical news for our community. This program is available as a podcast at wuky.org.